could deliver or will deliver his presentation. It is very important to understand how we can improve the DNS world. Our panelists, each of them will provide their point of view, but they will speak about a different perspective and a different way of defining and improving something which is fundamental in our structures, and this is the DNS service. Therefore, and in this sense, I would like to highlight, and I don't know if you have any order of speakers, if you want to introduce yourselves, perhaps we can start. Okay, so Oscar doesn't want to be the first one. So Ariel or Tony or both of you will be the first speakers. So now I will give the floor to a great and a very prestigious speaker, Argentinian speaker, Tony Harris. This is Tony Harris speaking. Thank you very much, Gabriel, for your kind presentation. So once again, I will apologize and will present the apologies of Ariel Grazer from Cavase. He's my boss. And I will speak about the business opportunities for the participants in Latin America and the opportunities that we can have within the domain name industry. Next slide, please. So within ICANN, when we speak about the resources that ICANN has to create a domain name business, a generic domain names business, we have two streams. We have the registry stream. I use my own language to define these concepts. For me, a registry would be the licensor. And the registry implies to present an application, to file an application, to use a new TLD or a generic TLD. So this requires the opening of an application round. As you may know, 3 years ago, there was the opening of an application round with more than 109,000 applications. And we learned today that there are more than 650 new domain names functioning in the root. When it comes to the other stream, the registrar stream would be, to put it somehow, the sailing chain for generic domain names. So this implies to be accredited by ICANN as a registrar, and I will explain this further. And also, this can be done at any time. That is to say, we don't have to wait for a call from ICANN to be accredited as a registrar. Today, this afternoon, after this meeting, we can do it, of course, if we comply with all the requirements. To be an accredited registrar means, as you can see here, or there are certain requirements which are important to take into account. In this case, I would like to say that I am not criticizing the structure of this system, and this is not ICANN's fault either. But obviously, let's see and let's think about a business or a company in Latin America that says that that company wants to be an ICANN registrar and sell domain names. So I have to pay, as a company, an initial fee of $3,500 and an annual fee of $4,000, a minimum contribution per registered domain name. And if I'm not wrong, this is 25 cents per domain name. And then we have a quarterly contribution that is being paid by all the registrar as a whole. This is not specified in the application when we proceed with the filing of the application. So this is, or this creates a bit of uncertainty. And if I accept and if I access to be an ICANN accredited registrar, I would be sharing the space with GoDaddy. And this is just for you to have an idea of the dimension. So I would be competing with companies such as Network Solutions, Enum, GoDaddy. Then we have other issue, which is quite complicated for our part of the world. And this is to have a general commercial responsibility insurance of $500,000. We tried to become a registrar in Cavase a year ago, and we were encountering many barriers and problems. And then we found out at the local level and in the local market the cost of such an insurance, and if I'm not wrong, and I don't want to exaggerate, but the cost of that insurance was $10,000 or $12,000 on an yearly basis. And then there is another requirement, which is to have a certificate to access a bank credit, which is, should be certified by a bank, of $70,000. And this is not local currency. That is dollars. Now, let's take the other stream, which is a registry. I mean, this is not open. I cannot say today I will become a registry because now the system or the procedure is closed, and until there is another or a new call, I have no opportunity to become a registry. However, the application fee, the amount of money that is going to be charged to file an application, is $185,000. And if I can approve the application, in my case, I had a successful application, then I found out that I still needed $140,000 that should be that had to be deposited in a bank on behalf of ICANN by means of a letter of credit. So, as you can see, you can imagine, and we can say, okay, I am happy with this. I am quite interested in the domain name industry. So what should I do? Should I become a registry? Should I become a registrar? Well, but when we proceed, as we move forward, we are encountering, let's say, not barriers or obstacles, but certain considerations that we need to take into account. So why does this happen? And why is it so difficult and so complicated for someone to be, or for someone who is in this part of the world, to become a registrar? Well, we should take into account that in the year 2000, if I'm not wrong, all .com domain names were sold by one company, which was Network Solutions, if I'm not wrong. When ICANN began to develop its policies in the year 2000, it decided that there should be a competence and competition in the domain name industry. That is to say, it was not possible for only one company to have the power to exploit a resource such as .com without any competition, because it was not price competition either. .com domain name, for those who were active at that time, would know that a .com domain name was registered by paying an amount of $30 on a yearly basis. So when ICANN decided to do that, there was a new group of registrars, and that group of companies that quickly accessed, and they were insiders, they knew the market, they knew what was going on, they belonged to Europe and the US and perhaps someone from Australia. But what do they have in favor? They had a base or a database of .com and .net registrars with 70 million of domain names to share and to begin working and operating their business. So if I became a registrar in 2000, I would have access to a kind of possibility to capture such an amount of available domain names, because they were they belong to Network Solutions, and they were going to be operated by other registrars. There was a price war. And of course, those who offer the registrar and the registrants the lower prices had the better share. And today we see that reflected in these in the market because they are the ones who had the bigger share. Those people, when we presented this topic in ICANN, they told us that we are looking for an advantage over them, that we are looking for privileges that they do not have. So what are they talking about? I mean, where is the share that they had in the past, and what is the benefit? Where is the benefit that they had in the past? So I believe that these considerations are really important to take into account in order to understand and have a better understanding of this market and of the business, and of course, the difficulties that we might encounter when we want to participate. And it's somehow a pity because the message that is somehow received in our region is that this place is already occupied, and if we want to participate, okay, we should go to the bank and get ready for that. And I believe that perhaps this is not the most useful way. And we know that ICANN manages global resources and that we all have the same rights. But we came late to the party, to put it somehow. And when it comes to new rounds or opportunities to request or apply for a GTLD, well, we are not talking about a new round. And perhaps we might investigate if it was really necessary to charge everybody $185,000. And perhaps in our next round, we may have more reasonable conditions. In Argentina, I spoke with two or three provinces in our country to help them to file an application, for example, for .Cordoba or .Santa Fe. But when they realized the amount of money that they had to pay, they said no. They were really surprised. And now we have certain cities such as Berlin, London, or provinces like Quebec in Canada that have already paid for that. So I think, and I will stop here because I am taking too much time for this, but I think these are ideas that I would like to inform, that I would like to put on the table, not as a critics, but as a way of looking at the reality. Thank you. Gabriel Brenta speaking. Thank you very much, Tony. We will leave questions by the end of this session. Now, I would like to share the opinion of Eduardo Santoyo. He is the current director of .co from Colombia. He's also the LAC-TLD director. He's a friend of mine and a colleague who has great knowledge of the market, of the distribution chain and registrar. So perhaps you can give us your insights. This is Eduardo Santoyo speaking. I don't know if I can give you or provide right ideas, but of course I will share my views on this. And perhaps I will start my presentation by taking something that Tony said before, and this has to do with the change that there should be in terms of players with the implementation of the new TTLD programs that has been implemented for some time now by ICANN. And I mentioned this because, as I said before this morning, when we were talking about the presentation of the new TTLD program, I remembered that the reasons for a new round of GTLDs was to increase the participation or engagement of players in the DNS development and in other parts of the world, and particularly to try to have those countries in the southern hemisphere, those countries to have more participation with new TTLDs and new agents and new players. And of course, this reason should be taken into account in order to provide a more reasonable and concrete evaluation of the program. This is not fully complied with because at the beginning of the process, the applications that were filed by the regions were very low in comparison to the volume of the total amount of applications that were filed. So this means that we will have very few players in the region. But the registry and the registrar and the registrar and the registry will not be enough so as to generate a changing environment for the general engagement map in the internet industry. And this, of course, is of great concern to us. After the end of this program and after the end of this round, in order to promote the creation of initiatives, to promote the creation of efforts and activities in these regions to have more registrars, more registries, and more players in the industry coming from Latin America. And this is a call for us to be aware, to contribute to the general assessment process for this new round of GTLDs, and that we contribute to the discussion of principles that should involve the second round, so that those elements may be helpful and may contribute to the geographical democratization of the process and the creation, of course, of industries related to the DNS. And this is somehow to supplement what Tony was saying before. We have certain barriers that we are facing. We know it is not easy, but it is now our turn to pay attention to this general assessment of the program. And, of course, for the new GTLD program, in order to comply with our goals.
On the other hand, I wanted to let you know that in the last few months, there have been some changes in the DNS area in the region. I'd like to mention this once again, not to be reiterative, but just because I think it's important for the region. Carolina mentioned this early this morning, the idea of the Anycast cloud that will be launched by LACTLD for the country codes community in the region. Why? Because it's a contribution by the community that will help improve security and stability of the system, and it's the result of the cooperative efforts of the local community, which, together with another regional organization such as LACNIC, has been able to create a management framework that will support the operations of the CCTLDs that really contributes significantly to the improvement of the stability of the internet in Latin America. And this is very important, and I'm highlighting it because although it's true that we have an infrastructure in the management of the .co, thanks to our head company, the one that provides the DNS services in the network called Ultra DNS, which was selling or is selling then in the commercially. So we can now see that on one hand, acknowledging the importance of a service like this one, we are glad to see that the region has been able to adopt this same framework of cooperative effort to develop the Anycast network. And I'd like to also stress the work LACTLD has been carrying out, but increasingly more working jointly with other organizations such as ICANN, ISOC, and LACNIC in this process of building or creating together, joining efforts to develop the strategy for community engagement, relating this to what ICANN is doing vis-a-vis us, and we have seen important breakthroughs, especially in the setting up of actions that help to improve the operational conditions for us country codes. We have learned, or this morning we heard Wynne talk about the joint efforts ICANN and the country codes community are carrying out to create areas for improvement in the business arena. But we have also worked jointly and in cooperation to analyze cybersecurity and technical operations. There is a lot to share, and there is a long way to go to. And from that point of view, although I'm not mentioning any new actors, what I'm saying is that there are new areas of work, coordinated and joint work among different stakeholders in the community. And before finishing, I'd like to mention a new stakeholder that is becoming increasingly important in our regions. That is the Organization of American States, the OAS, an organization made up of countries in the region that has explained its interest in understanding and finding areas for discussion regarding the management and the DNS in the region, with a twofold purpose. Number one, cybersecurity, cyber defense as a concern for them, because considering the increasing importance of internet in the development of government activities, trade in general, in the everyday life of all of us as citizens, the OAS considers it will necessary to be present and to foster and discussions about the way all this is management, all this issue. And from that point of view, between the first forum and this one, well, we can see that those areas for discussion have been expanding and they will be fostered and driven, and we will have those discussions more frequent. They will be working with us, and they are welcome to do so, of course. So governmental organizations and the states and intergovernmental organizations are becoming increasingly present players in all these discussions. And it's important to stress this because they are there, and we are going to foster such discussions. I don't know how much time I have left, but I would also like to leave some time for questions later on. Thank you. Gabriel Brenta speaking. Thank you, Eduardo. Now, I'd like to introduce Ernesto Bojorquez, the marketing director of .mx, who will talk about a case that complements everything that has been said up to now. He's the marketing director, and he has expertise in the implementation of .lat. So, if you'd like to share with us your experience. Edgardo speaking. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to this session. Thank you, Carolina and Eduardo. And Gabriel, I'd like to talk about the .lat. .lat has submitted about 2,000 applications for new TLDs. It is an initiative which was born in our region, coming from ECOM-LAC, or Ecomlac. We have been working for over 8 years in this project. Besides what Tony was saying when he talked about the costs, the fees, the hard facts related to developing a new TLD, well, time is also money, and many efforts were put into meeting those requirements. And so this is the time, 8 years. It's the time the whole process took us, so we have been working for 8 years to develop it. Everything was born when Comlac talked to NIC Mexico, and they invited us to do some technology transaction. Tony was asked us, Tony asked us to contribute so that we could help them develop .lac with our technology platform, and we suggested that we could also contribute something from the point of from the business point of view. NIC Mexico, starting in 2004, has been working in marketing and in promoting the CCTLD. Mexico is in a very special situation with the generic domains .com, especially in Mexico. It's very common for somebody to have a generic domain or an MX domain. At some point in time, MX were less than 50% of the total number of domains in Mexico, and we had to develop marketing strategies so as to change this. And we learned quite a bit here, so we shared this with Ecomlac, and together we decided to work together to create the .lat. And that's how .lat was born. Today, we're still in the launching stage, but so we worked hard for 8 years finding different issues that had to be overcome. Some of them were quite simple to overcome. It was just up to us. But in some other cases, it was up to elements or factors related to our economies or our countries, issues such as insurances. It wasn't easy to get an insurance company that would offer this product. There wasn't a wide choice, and it took some time until we found the right vendor for insurances, for example. Eventually, .lat is the domain that was born to identify people, organizations, cases, and and projects of Latin origin in Internet. It offers a space in Internet with Latin identity. And this is what .lat is offering, which is the road or the path to sell this. This morning, we heard about some strategies that could be used to market the name. So .lat is based on this, on the promotion of Internet, on getting people to know what they can use Internet for. For many of us, it may be something very simple to understand, but in the world, we find users that don't see the usefulness or how useful Internet may be for them, and we want to communicate this in the first place. We don't go out to sell a domain name. We actually try to get people to understand the power of the Internet for their cases and their situation. So when they start using Internet to improve their business, they will need a domain name, and that's where we are able to offer them our products and suggest some product. So promoting the Internet, communicating it, creating awareness, and after that we have education, helping users to find advice, training, so that they can learn how to use Internet, so that what they have decided to do, they may eventually do. And the last component is the marketing or selling of domains. And here is where we have what .lat and other similar initiatives in the region provide, that is creating a platform that will really enable domains to be accessible for the people, that it's easy to get a domain name or a service to create a web page, to get a web hosting service and email service. And this is the infrastructure that is required, in our case, in Latin America. So this is what .lat needs to do, promote internet, educate about the internet, and have a good and strong platform to market and sell domain names. Basically, what we are creating with .lat is this spirit of community about people of Latin origin. This initiative takes into account all people from Latin America and also people from Latin America spread throughout the world, especially those who are in the U.S. This is just one picture, but it shows what we do so that we get, so as to get Latins to become identified with this and to see themselves as a community. We have been working with Ecomlac and all its partners in other countries in Latin America, and also with some associations and organizations present in the U.S. and that work with people of Latin origin in the U.S. What is the value that an initiative like .lat may provide for the region? More exposure of the domain category. In marketing terms, when we talk about water, beverages, or beer, or any kind of product, we call it category. In the case of domains, well, we have the same. To what extent do people know what domains are like? How many people know what the domain name is and how they could use it? And eventually, this gets people to know what the domain category is about. This is what we want to do in the region. By operating .mx, we learned that it was very important for people to learn about it and to know what they could use it for. And this is what we want to do through .lat. Through .lat, we don't want to get to the countries and compete directly with the ccTLD of the country. We just want to provide complementary services and to promote and educate about the internet, trying to get the category to grow and thus expand the market. This is our goal, and we are doing this with Mexico. We have the ccTLD .mx, but we are also trying to get .lat to penetrate into the Mexican market. This is what we are doing, and we also want .lat to support the development of capabilities and capacities in the region, capacity building related to internet, in the marketing of domain names, and the marketing of ISP services. We want the marketing channels to be developed with local vendors. We want new companies to be created to promote these marketing services. As Tony said, it's very difficult for a new company or for a small company in our countries to start competing with the big international players. There are players that hold tens of millions of domains, so the economies of scale will work for them, and the small ones cannot compete. However, there are other strategies, for example, strategies of being closer to the customer, providing a more customized service, and this opens a new area where these small players may compete. And through initiatives like .lat, we want to help these players. Of course, we have to work with registrars that are accredited with ICANN, but we also want to develop the distribution chain from then downwards so that some countries may participate and later be accredited as a route, maybe. And for these services, we need more services, of course, and vendors that are reliable. And this will also eventually this creation of new domains will have huge benefits for the region as a whole. The current status of the initiative, we are going through the launch stage. In the final part of the launch, we are going through the land rush stage, and this will be completed by July the 31st, 2015. And at this stage, we use the dynamics used by NIC Mexico in 2019 to work with the .mx, and it's based on a price scheme whereby prices go down in time. So we start with a high price, and the price drops until it gets to a, quote, normal price. This is what is happening with .lat. Rather than speculating with the price of the names, we want to make it expensive to speculate. So instead of having somebody register 1,000 names to be selling them to somebody else in the end, we want to discourage this behavior. We just want people to pay for a name if they see a value in it or according to the value they see in it. And that's the approach we're using today. If you need more information, you may find it at this web page. Thank you very much. Gabriel Brenta speaking. Thank you, Ernesto. And as we are talking about different approaches to the DNS world, so that you may have a wider view, I'd like to introduce Jordi Iparraguirre. I've been rehearsing this throughout the morning. Jordi Iparraguirre is a director and founding partner of Primus Inter Pares, and he has experience in the analysis of zone files, something which for all of us who have managed DNS think is interesting and fun. Jordi, yes, it's fun. It's lots of fun. We have never been normal people. Let's live up to it. So, Jordi, please share with us your experience. Thank you very much, Gabriel. Everybody has to find a market niche. Nobody's in here. Let's go into this area. So thank you very much to Carolina and to the organizers. I will be very brief, basically because I have reorganized my presentation or changed it a little bit. There have been two or three presentations this morning which I thought were brilliant and very interesting, and I would like to stress what they said because I think that everything together is very valuable. The question is, how could we take advantage of this power in the world of the DNS? And through WIM, we saw that there is possibilities to grow. There are areas of growth. So I mentioned only three ideas about several areas where we might grow. How to move from the what to the how. How to do it. The first area would be to stress the strategies for sustainable growth of the TLD, that is, everything that is around it, the pricing strategy, the prices of the TLD, so they will be high at the very beginning, and after that they will come down, etc. And also registration policies. Some countries, not necessarily in Latin America, a country in Europe, where if you don't go with your document that shows that you are the owner of the brand, you cannot register a domain, and that's it. And you have to go and deliver it personally. So the registration policies may be more complex. They could be simplified, and this would create many possibilities, and also the operations, registration processes, etc. It's also important to talk about the relationship between the registries and registrants. Each TLD is an independent world. Country codes may be registrars or not. But if you use the channel of the registrars that are already ICANN accredited, we should try and work with them because they have much more experience. They know how this works. They are working with large domains. They are going to give us the right advice, and it's worthwhile working with them. They will help us to sell and market our domain. So first, we have strategies to develop sustainable growth of the domains. Number two, the second one is also very interesting, the idea of sharing resources. We have heard about three examples this morning of the benefits of sharing resources among TLDs, for example, through LACTLD, LACNIC, or various platforms. They are already there. We just have to use them. Training in marketing and sales, technical issues, for example, technical training of the CERT. We're talking about an early response center. So we can see there are various initiatives and actions coming up from the community, and especially for the smaller domains, where they could use it, they could jump on the brand wagon and leverage what has already been done. There could be other services that could be shared, for example, marketing campaign. Does it make sense to share marketing campaigns? Of course. Each country has its own features, and there is no one-size-fit-all strategy. But maybe an idea could be shared, and after that, tailored to the local needs. And some projects could be shared. And even more far-fetched, maybe the back office of several CCTLDs could be shared, because in the long run, it's just doing copying and paste of a software. You buy more hardware, and if it's small domains, they shouldn't be too complicated. Well, these are just ideas. Number one, strategies to facilitate sustainable growth of TLDs. Number two, sharing these resources. And the third one would be, okay, let's try to learn, and nobody likes this, let's go into the zone. Let's try to see how our domain is used. We may do surveys, see if we see people on the streets, count them, comparing them to the .com or whatever, but we may also do some research. We can do a complete analysis of the zone, for example, analyzing all the domains in the zone and trying to find out whether there is something or not behind those domains, a server. If there is a server, what name server it has, how many servers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 19, and we may be getting some very interesting information. But after that, looking at the content, we could analyze the webs, and, for example, geolocalizing them. Where are they located? Does this match the most common registrars? This may be an issue with countries that have connectivity problems. Is it a problem if the most important registrant is a country where there is no good connectivity, where the route is longer? What happens if we have a problem with the cable? We also talked about the content, web pages. What do they deal with? How is our domain being used? Through .lat, is it really used to sell services to the Latin American community? Or, for example, .tuv, it doesn't belong, sorry, .tv, it isn't used by the island. It's used to sell TV-related products. So we could develop marketing campaigns. And maybe the domains are not being used the way they should be used. We may look at the number of pages we have in the parking area, how many are being resold, if they belong to private users or if they belong to companies. So we may learn a lot about how our TLD is being used. This just by looking at the content.
We may also find some other curiosities. For example, simple things. And this is quite easy to search for. For example, the length of a TLD, popular words within the TLD that might be useful for campaigns on the web. For example, there is a course on Facebook to find out what is the length of a TLD. So these are excuses to motivate your community, to have your community speak about your domain name. So this is all I wanted to mention, and I want to repeat the 3 points. The strategies for a sustainable growth, the topic of registration processes, policies, registrar, etc., etc., to share and promote efforts for smaller registries to be able to grow quickly and to make the most of the potential that bigger registries have, and to have greater knowledge of the use of our TLD, that is to say, to make the most of all the tools, computing tools and statistics tools, to see what the TLD thinks about us and what is the opinion of the TLD, so that we can have better marketing campaign. Thank you. Gabriel Brenta speaking. So in our previous break, we were speaking and we found the lost chain. I will now introduce Oscar Robles. He was he's a specialist in domain names. He's our missing link, in fact. He was a co-founder of LAC TLD some long ago, and now is the LACNIC CEO. So he's the exact and great intersection between the world of the names and between the worlds of the numbers, and he can provide a different perspective from this world. Oscar, you have the floor. Oscar Robles. Well, I am the missing link, in fact, in the business and domain name industry, in fact. Thank you very much for your presentation. I will speak about these topics that are related to the domain name system in the region. And I will speak about the challenges that we are facing in the region in terms of DNS. And, of course, the role that LACNIC plays in this issue. First of all, I would like to give you a general outlook regarding the region. We have approximately 3.2 billion users in the world who are connected to internet. So 10% out of these 3.2 billion users belong to Latin America. So they are Latin American users. And this percentage is still being kept at 10%. But the most interesting thing here is that this year we have a greater amount of internet users in Latin America in comparison with those in North America, that is to say US and Canada. This is for the first time in history. And of course this is something natural because there is a much more greater population in this part of the world, and this was something that was going to happen in the end. But it is interesting to see that we are now experiencing and facing this situation. And this, of course, generates and favors certain business aspects because there are ISPs that are seeing the region as a relevant one, an homogeneous region in certain aspects, not only in terms of language, but also in terms of other aspects. And the fact of having these solutions and this market is also interesting because we can be the receptors of interesting solutions. So this is the context that we face. Now let's talk about the different challenges that we face. And we have business challenges, technological challenges, and political challenges. When it comes to technical challenges, well, these are worldwide challenges. We cannot say that these challenges are exclusive for the region. In fact, these are global challenges. Interconnection in Latin America is starting to be resolved. It was a big effort. It was a great challenge for us as a region. We had to suffer the lack of connection. As someone said today in the morning, there was practically no interconnection among the countries in the region. And this, of course, created costs that were very high to maintain internet and to implement hosting solutions. So access was very expensive during many years. This is now changing for many players, but there is a change indeed. Another challenge that we face in terms of DNS has to do with software. The main software being managed or used for the 80% of transactions in the DNS in the world for DNS queries is called bind. And this is used, as I said before, by 80% of servers in the world. And there is only one version of this software, or at least only one product, which is responsible for that 80%. Of software used by the DNS. And this is a challenge because it means that if there is a failure in the quality of the software or a boot or any kind of problem in this application or in this system, well, this, of course, will affect internet. And I'm talking about a serious failure in the software. So this was the main application for many years for DNS in the world. And of course, this is a challenge. There is approximately 100,000 DNS in the world and 80,000 DNS use the version of this software. So this is a challenge that we are facing. And of course, we have to work together, not only in Latin America. Taking into account the DNS structure and the challenges in this regard, not long ago, perhaps 15 years ago, this scheme of shared unicast or anycast was developed so as to create capacities to use more instances or more servers, domain name servers, for one zone. Instead of having 13 due to the size of the package, with Anycast, we could have an unlimited number of instances taking into account the queries in each zone. But of course, in the region, we didn't have anyone offering the solution. Today, it might be natural to go to a PCH or to go to VeriSign or to go to any other company, and they would offer Anycast. But 10 years ago, this was not the case. And some CCTLDs began working on that development. NIC Mexico was one of the partners working on the Anycast solution, and they were kind of pioneers in that process. Today, I heard with great hope that this LACTLD cloud, that Anycast cloud, will have a significant impact and that will host all the CCTLDs or TLDs if this is open to other players that might not be able to pay those solutions or that will have no access such to business solutions, as I was mentioning before. So I believe this is going to be extended, and this is going to be a solution for one of the challenges in our region. Then we have the DNS Observatory promoted by ICANN and implemented by NIC Chile and some other actors or players in the region. This is something interesting because it provides relevant information to the industry. And then, of course, we have the fine-tuning of the industry and the DNS as well. The DNS in itself has its own challenge, which is the DNSSEC. We know that there are 10 DNSSEC operators in the region. They have already signed the zone. And this, of course, provides more complexity to the zone, and it adds more complexity to the management of the CCTLD. Today, we do not have great amounts of domain names signed under those zones. But in the future, this will be more complex due to the amount of traffic that these carriers will generate because they manage a different package size. Of course, it's the DNSSEC and the DNS do not have the same size in terms of packages. Another topic which is important to LACNIC and that has been promoted by LACNIC, it is the topic of root servers. As you know, there are 13 root servers none of them is in the region. That is to say, there is no responsible entity in the region. However, there are different instances in the region due to the Enicast solution. There are more than 570 instances of this at the global level, and about 50 are placed in the region. So this amounts to almost 10%. This represents our expectation of having a 10% in any aspect, that is to say, a 10% in this solution. So the 10% of having the 10% of the instances in this region is something that is being seen, and this is thanks to not only LAC TLD, but also to the players and TLDs that have promoted these instances and that have contributed to this infrastructure. Now I will speak about the political challenges. These are quite simple. On one hand, authorities are more interested in us and what the registries do and in what the CCTLDs and registries do, such as the case of LACNIC. And they have the intention of understanding what they do or what we do and how we can provide information to them when required. But sometimes objectives are not that clear. The police, for example, have the intention of obtaining information, but sometimes they attribute these to very complex crimes such as child pornography. And taking this into account, well, we might move away from our objective or move away from the child pornography crime. And of course, we want to contribute to solving these crimes. But sometimes this is only the pretext that we have or the excuse that we have.
Apparently, you can hear me very well. Sometimes it's just the excuse to get information, and being a registry in charge of that service, we have to be very careful, because although we want to cooperate with law enforcement agencies, we also have a regulation to comply with, the regulations related to privacy and personal data protection. On the other hand, for over 30 years now, the DNS was invented over 30 years ago when this system was defined. This distributed system was defined, and a new element was introduced to the internet, the hierarchies. Up to that point, there were no hierarchies. It was just a network, a mesh, where the only hierarchy was those who were inside and those who were not inside or were not part of it. So there was no such hierarchy. When the DNS was set up for the first time, the hierarchy-based model of domains was set up. Top-level domains, second-level, third-level domains, and so on and so forth. It's amazing how this simple change created such a political discussion that goes on up to nowadays. And this is what at this ICANN meeting will be discussed throughout the day, the idea of the IANA transition. And one of the relevant elements here is the transferring of the stewardship role of the IANA related to names, numbers, and protocols. But the issue of names was born with the DNS. When DNS was given a hierarchical nature, there had to be somebody who was responsible for managing the root of the whole domain name system. And this organization was naturally the U.S. government. And we expect this to change in this community, or as soon as the ICG may submit the proposal to the U.S. government to go through the transition of the IANA stewardship responsibilities. This is the political challenge. And finally, the business and marketing challenges. I think it's there where we have more areas of opportunity. We have about 10 million domains under the registries of the 230 million there are in the world. In the world, there are about 290, 300 million domains registered under the TLDs, and only 10 million are from Latin America. .ar, .mx, .co, etc., and .lat, too. So this is less than 3.4% of the total number, so we are very far from that 10% share we should have. Regarding TLDs, in the past, we had 30 TLDs in the region, out of 300 in the world, out of the 260 CCTLDs, about 20 GTLDs and 30 CCIDNs, that is the CCIDNs, that is the CCTLDs with IDNs. It was just 10% of the total number of TLDs in the region, 3 out of 300. Now, today, with the new GTLDs, we are fewer than 4% in absolute terms when we talk about labels, how many labels we have in the region out of all the labels available in the world. So, let's not talk about GTLDs. There are open GTLDs. There are about, and I don't want to ignore anybody, but .lat is the open generic one in the region as compared to the 1,000 there may be in all. So I'm talking about the business arena and the GTLDs. In order to sell these GTLDs, you need ICANN accredited registrars. Choni mentioned one of the obstacles to becoming an accredited registrar for those domains. In 2013, I did a search, and we had about a 2% share in the total number of ICANN accredited registrars in the region. In Latin America, we had 20 registrars out of the 1,000 accredited registrars. Today, it's only 1%. So in 2 years, our share dropped to 1% because the total number of registrars has grown, and also because some registrars from the region left the business. And if we talk about the market share of the registrars in the region, well, this is a very, very low figure. It's about 0.11% of the total number of the registries in the world. So, of course, it doesn't exist for public practical purposes from the business point of view. This is a huge opportunity. What is LACNIC doing here? Well, I'd like to tell you something that maybe you are not fully aware of. Despite the fact that I've been working for 20 years in this area, well, working maybe too much, I've been enrolled in .mx for 20 years almost, and I've been close to .LACNIC. I didn't think it was an important actor in the DNS arena, but today LACNIC, with its infrastructure, has almost 800 and receives 150 million queries a day. This is about 10,000 queries to the DNSs per second. And as you know, IP registers manage the reverse resolution of domains, so it also gives origin to many queries for IPv4 and 6, and I would say this is larger or more than many TLDs in the region have. I don't have strong data, but just in my opinion, I would say that it's one of the largest operators in the DNS ecosystem. So we are very interested in this. We want to keep on working in the DNS arena, not only in the operational and technical areas, but also in the technology area, in the business area. We cannot do that much in the business area, but we want to work in order to create collaborative efforts in the Internet House in Montevideo, where all these organizations are working together. We also want to participate in this, in these efforts. The goal would be, and this is my conclusion, to promote those local capabilities, not only because we are nationalistic, but because we want to have a larger share of the business services, a larger share of involvement in the technology area. We want to keep that 10%. We want to grow hand in hand, or we want to match what we provide and we sell with the number of users we have in this part of the world. Thank you very much. Gabriel Vente speaking. We have just a few minutes so that you may shoot your questions at the members of the panel. Feel free to ask questions. Usually, you don't find such a wide array of people with different opinions and views of the DNS arena. If you are too shy, I will ask the first question. Tony, could you help us think about the path to follow so that the figures you mentioned about market share would change when we talk about GTLDs in the region? What could we do to grow these numbers? Of course, after learning about your concrete and hard experience, do you think there is a way of overcoming all these issues? I believe there is a way. First of all, Tony Harris speaking. First of all, we should look at the access conditions. As I told you earlier on, they are sort of far-fetched or out of the possibility, beyond the possibilities of organizations in our region. And on the other hand, I think we should work, I may diverge from the issue, talking about the number of about IP numbers, which is a very important subject, because at LACNIC we are talking about the availability of IPv4 numbers. In Argentina, there is very strong work by companies such as Intel and GE in developing applications for the Internet of Things, especially for the healthcare area, and they will be launched very soon, and the infrastructure is not ready for this to manage the IPv6 protocol. Generally speaking, and this should be borne in mind. Sorry that I took the mic to say this, to mention this. But in the region, we are working on the development of this, and it would be really a shame if we don't move forward because of this. On the other hand, I think that the involvement of the community that is present here and which attends all ICANN meeting is pushing or driving consistently so as to get better results, such as the ones you have mentioned. Gabriel Brenda speaking. Do you think it would be possible to relate the new GTLDs with existing CCTLDs that would somehow guarantee the operational aspects? And this is what we had at .lat, for example. Is it a question for me? Tony speaking. May I refer this question to expert, who is the expert? He's my partner in .lat. Ernesto speaking. I believe it would be useful. It is an opportunity for managing the costs and the infrastructure which TLDs already have to operate other TLDs. So I believe it would be useful. And the more consolidation you get, the larger the opportunity becomes. However, that is our problem in the region. As Oscar was saying, many of the new initiatives are not based in our region, so it gets harder to achieve such consolidation. Gabriel Venta speaking. Is there any additional question? There is a question in the back. Please shout, and I will do the simultaneous Spanish translation. I'm Agustin Especiane, and this is a question. Well, you talked about the business, about the entry barriers, but nothing was said about the exit barriers, and something was said about closing a registry. So once you have are in the business and you have some domains registered, have you thought about this exit registry? It's not so easy to remove a domain. I'm talking about the outgoing barriers. Eduardo Santoso speaking. Registries, when they get a registry, you're already paying for some things which guarantee there is a smooth transition in the case you exit the business. So you may consider this as one of the barriers for entry, because from the very beginning you have to guarantee that smooth exit, even though you may never use it. And not only, somebody else says, you not only have to guarantee it, but you also have to pay for it, fund it. So it's an entry barrier. Tony Harris speaking. I talked about the letter of credit of about $140,000. When you become a registry to operate a new GTLD, that money is available for they can to appoint somebody who will take the place of this registry if it leaves the business. I don't know what happens if a registrar leaves the business. Maybe somebody knows how this works.
In English or in Castellano? Okay, in Castellano. Hay un proceso para hacerlo a nivel de ICANN. Cuando un registrador, si tiene algún problema, si quiere darse de baja, que sea voluntariamente o porque están forzados, el registrador puede pedir que ICANN haga el traslado de los dominios a otro.
ICANN can ask the registrar to move the domains to another registrar, but if this is not possible, ICANN is going to issue a request to all registrars in the world so that they will submit this request to take up all the domains that were under that first registrar who wanted to leave the business. Usually, like, the ICANN takes into account the region where the registrar is. If it's a registrar from Mexico, it's going to try and find the registrar of Mexico and of a neighboring country to take up those domains. If it's a registrar from China, it's not going to take up the domains of a registrar of Colombia. It might happen, but it's unlikely. And registrars, well, we all are able to ask, we may be asked to do this, to take up the TLDs of other registrars, but without paying. This has already happened 20 or 30 times in the last 5 or 6 years. Gabriel Brenda speaking. Is there any other question? If there are no further questions, we thank all the members of the panel for their time, for sharing their knowledge with us. Habla Carolina Aguirre. Carolina Aguirre speaking. Thank you very much to all of you. Now we'll have a coffee break. Coffee is already served in the back, and we will reconvene at 4 o'clock so as to have an open mic questions and to take up any other pending issues. Thank you very much.